Blog Talk Radio.
I'm free. Ain't nothing gonna bother me.
Song, and this, you're listening to Bad Company with Gray Eye Smith and Dan DeCino. We are an allpoetry.com production, but out of the group Late Night Poets, and feel free to check that out. It's an online poetry site, and yeah, it's got wonderful groups in it, such as Late Night Poets, and I'm going to bring on a caller here. I believe it's Daniel DeCino. Here we go. Hello, area code 978. Is that you, Daniel?
Hey, Gray, what do you say?
Not a lot. How are you doing? We lost him. Call back, Daniel. Call back. All right. I'm going to post the first link here. And I'll post this into the group while we wait for Daniel to call back. Here we go.
Hey, what do they say?
Hello. Yeah, I know, right? No, welcome back.
I am back. Yes. Yes, I appreciate coming on. I think Bobby might be coming on later. We might do a tag team. I might have to take off, and then she might cover for me when she comes on, so we'll see what happens. But otherwise,
right.
I'm here for as long as I can. Yeah,
okay.
And we have a whole bunch of fun things going on here, right? We get all kinds of front page picks we're doing tonight again, I believe.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. Do you have those up at all?
I posted the first link, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, you did already?
Yeah.
All right, hold on a second here. I'm going to give that a read. I'd be happy to.
Sure.
All right, let me get that going here.
I don't know what's up with that. It brought up all of the.
Yeah, that was a different link. Let's take a look here. Yeah, I'm not sure which one that is. It's bringing up all of his front page picks.
I guess so. So we'll skip.
We can read the. We can just try
them.
The first one. I can.
Yeah,
I can just read the first one on there. I'm not sure. let me. I'll find the link to that one and I'll post that. I get that link right here. Boy, all kinds of fun technical difficulties tonight. There, I just posted the first one that came up. I'm not sure which one we're supposed to do. I think the link might be wrong. But, hey, you know, this just proves it. Everybody's listening. We're live. This is not recorded. We're not messing around here. We're actually doing this live. So, you know, these things happen.
Yeah.
This is real poetry we're reading here. All right, I'm going to give this one a read. I just picked the first one off the list. I'm not sure why all of his are together, but we'll just go with the first one. And give me 1 second here. This is by Self-Written Mojo called Alternator. Older is trying to dress a walking chance of rain. Fit over fashion, overcast. Can it be a disappearing act? If care is not taken when choosing a color, one has to wonder what the gray of early morning fog becomes as it's lifted. The heat suggests light getting in through a window, or better yet, resting on the highest branch of the maple serving a Merlot with most of its leaves, the jazz. A good start for knees, not pirouettes in any stretch of imagination, not ripped meniscus either. It's more the way a crescent moon grins for no other reason than being dumb as a rock stunning itself on a dark beach of night, only to wake feeling skipped across the rising tide by something young, like another day and nearly as strong as the next sip of coffee. And boom.
Wow, that was a great read, Daniel. And that was an enjoyable poem. I like all the... continuation. I mean, I'm not too sure what I'm trying to say, but the difference in subjects as you go through it, you know, it talks about fashion, fog, maple trees, crescent moon, to wake feeling skipped across the rising tide by something young, like another day. Nearly as strong as the next sip of coffee. Very interesting, right? It had a wonderful flow to it, and the imagery was fantastic. What did you think, Daniel?
I thought it was very interesting, yeah, and I'm taking it as kind of a metaphor for our lives sometimes, right, where I did like the end part there, by the way, the crescent moon grins for no other reason than being dumb as a rock sunning itself on a dark beach night. Excuse me, I'm coughing here. I was drinking some wine, and I forgot to stop breathing. It's like still stuck there. You know, I'm in my 50s. You think I would learn how to drink and eat by now? I haven't figured it out yet. Anyway, you know, I like that part where it's, you know, it's interesting. And then, falling asleep at a dark beach only to wake feel skipped across the rising tide. It is really interesting how things kind of go back and forth and, you know, all of a sudden you're in these situations. You know, you wake up in the day, you think you know how your day is going to go, but, you know, then something happens. Somebody visits, you know, something as pleasant as somebody visits you that you haven't seen in a while, or you find something in your house you haven't seen, or something horrible, like you get in a car accident or some horrible thing. You know, it's just, you know, one minute one thing's happening, the next minute something else is. You know, that's where I'm getting that kind of alternator of, you know, back and forth. You know, Led Zeppelin song, right? Good times, bad times. You know, things, bad things happen, good things happen, and hopefully there's a middle ground for all of us there. But yeah, very, very interesting. Nice first poem. So why don't
Absolutely.
We continue on and see what we have?
Yep, I'm posting it now. All right, and just checking the studio real quick here. And no Bobby yet, so we will continue on. All right, so we have Earthquakes and Clouds of Smoke by San Levy, 59. PTSD is like a nebulous, poisonous gas. You must breathe in the poison for immunity. You can't walk ahead of it. It will just find you. Being around it, it will swallow you. Space is porous, but the holes are too small to escape through. Time eludes you, chaining to its pace, slowing. Reflection is just a mirror, broken. The edges cut deep. Stitching the gaping wounds with fish line. Pain harbors into brackish water and anchors to an unkept sinusoidal rhythm. Earthquakes and clouds of smoke you must walk through to reach the lifeline. It will be there. And as author notes, he says there is a overly used acronym to label a widely known health in the U.S. as a sufferer. It takes a hold of your gut, kicks you in the balls, and fractures hope. It's the real deal. This is the poem. This poem is one of encouragement and hope. And poem. So, what did you think, Daniel?
Depression is a very serious thing. I get it very bad sometimes, anxiety, kind of, so I don't know if that's manic depressive, but back and forth between the two sometimes. I mean, I get anxious so bad that I hope for depression just to calm myself down. You know, I don't think I'm making light of depression at all. It's a horrible, awful thing. I've, you know, been there where it just, you know, and how I've learned to deal with it is I used to just get hopeless and all this stuff, and now I kind of get, like, angry, because I'm like I'm almost like annoyed, like, oh, I'm depressed, when's this going to be over? That's the way I've dealt with it. Is I realized I've been, you know, I've gone through mental issues before, and somehow I feel better. Later on, you know, as time goes on, I will feel better. So I know that I will eventually. So like I said, it's just kind of like annoying, I'm able to, most of the time, you know, rationalize that. But it's a serious thing. It's very hard. And Earthquakes and Clouds of Smoke is a very interesting way to title it. And it does. It kicks you down. I mean, you can't move sometimes. It's so bad. And it's a serious thing. It's. You know, chemical imbalance, whatever you want to say, in you, and yeah, there you go. I also like, space is porous, but the holes are too small to escape through. There's really interesting line there where it's almost saying like there's hope, so you can, you know, which I think he did say that this is supposed to be an encouragement of hope. But it's almost like that where you can see, you know, you can kind of see that things aren't as bad as they are, but you can't get to it. You know, you just can't do it because you're stuck in this depression.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of interesting lines here. This is really, really well done. Which is,
yeah,
great.
Absolutely.
We got to read it.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. Sorry, I've got the wrong poem up.
Okay.
You know, Older is trying to dress a walking chance of rain, fit over fashion. Overcast can be a disappearing act. you know, when you disappear into the clouds, you know, because it's a gray day, it's kind of stating that you're gray and you're as gray as the day. And so you just kind of disappear in it. At least you feel like you do anyway. And, you know, PTSD is a pretty traumatic thing to have to suffer. I can't imagine having to suffer the PTSD. You know, we all get depressed, and fighting your way through that is tough enough. But you know, I really like Dumb as a Rock, Sunning Itself on a Dark Beach of Night, only to wake feeling skipped across the rising tide by something young, like another day, and nearly as strong as the next sip of coffee. Those are great lines. Those are wonderful, right? You did a fabulous read of it. Or I did. but no, it was great.
You did do a fabulous read of it. Absolutely.
Thank you.
So what we have now. Ain't nothing wrong with
next
shooting around more. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Dancers of the Cheesecake, Iris by Garden Delights, if you wouldn't mind reading that, Daniel.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. The cheesecake iris was grown and photographed. Oh, I'm sorry. This is just this cheesecake iris was grown and photographed by Sandra Lee. So that's what the picture is on the poem. The poem goes: cue violins and clarinets. Enter a monarch's symphonic orchestra, viewed by the king's retinue from elevated seating, and watchers hush settle through space. Dancers arrive on well-placed, elegant footsteps, graceful arms high, creating slow downward arcs, moving in precisely spaced curves, turning left, then right, an iris blossom slowly opening. Unusual voluminous costumes attach at wrists and shoulders, simulating flying, each dancer a pristine ivory petal taking flight. Bowing heads meet in the middle, diaphanous dresses flowing outward, fluttering in the imitation breezy meadow. The patrician court enthusiastically applauds, murmuring excited, arises. Performance has finally begun. End poem.
Wow. Great read, Daniel. And I like it. You know, I mean, really captures the essence of the cheesecake iris. I mean, it's a beautiful flower for sure. But, you know, you can feel the anticipation in the right as they wait for this thing to bloom. Thought you captured that quite wonderfully. And it was a fabulous poem. Congratulations on your front page pick, Garden Delights. And what are your thoughts, Daniel?
Yeah, the descriptions are great here, the way they she holds it. It starts off with the music, kind of holds it as this kind of symphony of you know, color. And I like when people kind of describe visuals as in musical terms, in music and visual terms. So, I'm so sorry for having to clear my throat, trying to mute so you guys don't hear it. And then the dancers come in, and this is the kind of describing like the whole, the visual of it and kind of the opening, like the beginning of it as a dance. You know, and a lot of times we do see when you see videos of flowers opening and petals opening, it's usually accompanied by music, right? It's a very, you know, graceful type of a thing. Let's see the other part here. So, yeah, each dancer a pristine ivory petal taking flight, bowing heads meeting in the middle. So this whole thing as a symphony, as a dance, goes beautifully with the fragility and the gracefulness of the flower. So yeah, well deserved front page pick and a silver as well too. Awesome.
Absolutely. Great comment, Daniel. Thank you. All right, grab the next link here. We have One by James Hartfield. We'll post that to the group. Oh, James Hartfield, sorry. So this is One by James Hartfield. Crystal clear, is the breath exhaled into the cold spaces of loneliness, where even water droplets refuse to keep you company. Tranquil non-existence is what swallows your impotent sounds. You do not hear the scuff of your shuffling feet or the ramble of your self-chatter. Transparent and translucent is what you become to yourself. The you crowding in on you becomes too insubstantial to hold back the numbness. Voidish placidity bleeds time, and perpetual solitariness bewilders cognition, till you are nothing, awash in nothing. End poem. Well, that was deep. It sounds like depression to me, but I could be wrong. What did you think of the poem, Daniel?
Well, first of all, it's interesting. You know, this is obviously not the Metallica song, but James Hatfield, a Metallica, person in Metallica, I believe, unless I'm getting my music completely wrong, and one of their famous songs is One. So really interesting that he he named that. He named it. I'll have to look at James's and see if he does a lot of Metallica references in his work. But yeah, I see this one as somewhat of depression as well too, or just someone being, you know, solitary. So transparent, translucent is what you become to yourself. The you crowding in on you becomes too insubstantial to hold back the numbness. You know, it's not only depression, but it's you that you can't stand yourself either. And that that can be a horrible part of depression. You know, depression can come from all different places. It can come from nowhere. It can come from just chemical in your body. But it can also be a reaction from either outside influences, right? If you're failing at something, or, you know, people are mean to you, something like that. Or it can be, you know, yourself, where you're just disappointed in yourself, right? And that's what this is kind of talking about, where you're, you know, tranquil non-existent is what swallows your impotent sounds. You don't hear the scuffling of your shoes or the ramble of your self-chatter. So you're just, you know, locked in yourself or whatever self-misery, self-loathing that you have. Very deep poem. Awesome job, James Hatfield.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I posted the link in the group, but there it is now. So I'm going to grab the next poem here. Oh, hold on. Here we go. I'll post this to the group.
Yeah, I'll give it a read.
Yeah, just one second here. All right.
Not a problem. This one here is the same thing. It came up, Robert Pilewski, it came up, so I'm not sure. I think we're getting some missed links there. So it's coming up as a group of them, of his front page picks. So I'm going to pick the first one. And we'll read that one as well. So give me a moment here. Technical difficulties again, but hey, we are live. These things happen. No 10-second delay, no nothing. We're just doing it, man. All right, I picked the first one on the list from Robert Pilewski. This is called Deliberate Life. A still pond rests in the woods among the tangle of bush and trees, guarded against winds by the crowd of hills around. Like it, encased rocks give the pond a primeval quality. It shines, cyan turquoise shimmering blues from the minerals of the glacier, flowing into the lake, oval and flat like mirror on the wall. Rests there, the mindful earth's custodian, protector guarding the nature. The reflected sunbeam is a light spark in the eye, a casual but glorious smile, the sweep of a painter's brush, art created by the moment. But the mirror doesn't show what's above the weeping willow. The clouds transient, changing day by day, both different and the same, like clothes from the same designer, unforeseeable the days of our existence. I built a cabin there on the North Shore to keep my face toward the sun and leave the shadow behind, bathe in the lake, cleanse the dirt and shed dead skin. Hear the soothing song of the wind, a melody beyond the range of ears, subtle inside my mind. Setting sun reflects off smudged windows, the windows of the almshouse. White thoughts I'm having are like in a palace. Hear the only sound of birds chirping, live deliberate life, give a true account of it. End poem.
I did a wonderful read of that, Daniel. And I liked it, you know, this little cabin in the woods that he makes this, I mean, this little pond in the woods where he makes this cabin, and the beauty that that is and that brings to him, you know, where he can just keep his face towards the sun, leave his shadow behind, bathe in a lake, and cleanse his dirt. You know, nothing more beautiful than that. But I really enjoyed the message in the last stanza. Setting sun reflects off smudged windows, the windows of an almshouse, while thoughts I'm having are like in a palace. Hear the only sound, birds chirping, the deliberate life. Give a true account of life. And, yeah, it doesn't get more truer than that. So what did you think, Daniel?
It was very beautiful. You know, it said it was inspired by Henry David Thoreau's Walden. Living in Massachusetts, I'm lucky enough to be able to have been to Walden. It's here, right? It's actually, I was actually born in the same town in Concord, Mass, where Walden Pond is. So I've walked it a few times. And to be totally honest, it's just a really pretty pond with a path, but it's very inspiring to be where you know, Thoreau wrote Walden. Anybody that comes to Massachusetts, especially anybody listening to this that's into poetry, I highly recommend you go there. It's free. You park at Walden Pond, and you can walk around the pond. You can actually see the the cabin that he lived at. And it says here, the prompt is, I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately and not when I came to die, discovered that I had not lived. Not lived thoroughly, I think it says. Not lived thoroughly. And yeah, that was kind of his whole deal, right? That he was trying to get away from society, and he'd kind of walk around the pond and think and so forth. So I think that this is well deserved of the goal, that Robert really captured the essence of that. You know, I like that I build the cabin there on the North Shore to keep my face toward the sun and leave my shadow behind, bathe in the lake, cleanse the dirt and shed the skin. So, you know, that description of what he was trying to do. And all the descriptions of just the beauty of nature that would inspire. I walk in the woods around here. Sometimes not a lot of woods where I am in the city, but I try to walk in nature walks. And even when I'm walking down regular streets, the birds and the sun and the trees, I see them, and that not as much inspires, but it kind of gets my mind kind of going. I know Beethoven used to walk in the woods a lot when he was writing his symphonies or when he needed to think. There is something just away, being away from man and being in that natural world that can really open the mind. So, yeah, all of that, I think, is great job. Awesome, awesome. What's your thoughts, Gray?
Yeah, I thought you did a great job of reading it, but we have some company here. I'm going to bring them on. Oh, hold on 1 second here. All right. So first off, we have Weaver of Dreams. Hello, and welcome to the show, Weaver.
Hello. Sorry I'm late, as usual. Great to be here.
Weaver, how are you?
I'm fine,
Weaver,
thank you.
I have a job. Happy birthday, Weaver.
Oh, thank you. It was a very happy birthday, as it happens. But thank you very much. That's great. Another year older.
I heard. Yeah, you know, the way you got to think about it, the way I think about it now is in video game years. You don't say you're, you know, 50 years old. You say you made it to level 50.
Oh, good.
You know what I mean? Because that way it's more like, I suppose, like, oh, wow, you're old. No, I made it this, look, I'm at level 70. Look at that. I made it.
Great philosophy. I like it a lot. I tend to say I tend to say that I'm as old as my hair and a little bit older than my teeth.
Ah, there you go. Excellent, excellent. So I heard you cutting up a rug today.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, don't even. Oh, the pain, the humiliation. Oh, it was great. It was a laugh and a half, but everybody was having a great night, so it wasn't so bad.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, and it looks like Northern Phoenix has joined. Hey, Northern Phoenix, how are you? Look at this. It's a party now. It's a birthday party. Hey, there you go.
I'd like to welcome Bobby, a.k.a. Captain B2, to the show. Hello, Bobby.
Ba-ba-da-ba. Here I am.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey,
and happy.
I want to say something to our saucy Scott. Scots are like wizards. They're never early or late. They arrive precisely when they mean to.
Oh, that's I love this philosophy tonight. That's wonderful. I won't feel bad about it.
AKA, that's courtesy of Gandalf.
Yes, that's Gandalf.
And like you. Like you, I measure. I'm as old as my tongue, but not as quite as old. And I'm older than my teeth.
Excellent. Excellent.
See, I'm just confused because I think like I'm 10 years old, but my body feels like it's 90. So I don't know what I am. I'm just confused in the middle somewhere. And Lou says, "Happy birthday, my lovely Scott, Katie." So look at that, love all over the place.
Thank you.
Bobby's
here.
Yes.
Bobby is here to rescue me. I might be taking off soon. I needed to kind of leave early tonight, so Bobby is my rescuer. She's went in the army to save the country, and now she's saving me.
Yeah. Well, you notice Dan says he's going to take off, but he does. He's a tease. He doesn't tell us what he's going to take off.
Ah, there you go, yes.
Oh my, we're so bad.
That's all right. Until you're ready, I'm just gonna sit here in the background and shave my sweater.
Shave your sweater. Oh my goodness.
You think I'm joking? Hang on. Here.
Oh, you've got one of those. Yes, I love those.
Oh, I do.
Oh Lord.
We won't tell the lads what that is. It'll be our secret.
Yeah, just let them hear the buzz.
All right. Well, I am gonna take off, guys. It looks like there's a party going on here already. I would just be the guy in the corner, kind of sitting around waiting for somebody to ask me to dance. So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna take off. But
would you like us lasses to come tuck you in?
I would, but then I'd never get some sleep. So there you go.
Well said.
That's right. All right. Well, thanks for rescuing me, Bobby and Weaver. Happy
You're
birthday,
welcome.
Gray. Always awesome. So have a great show, guys. Sorry, I got to leave, but I really appreciate it. Everybody have
no
a great
problem.
Night.
Thank you,
no
my
problem.
Dear.
No worries. Good
night, Daniel. Well, it's just us now, so. Weaver, I posted the first link, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please.
Yes, no problem. 1 second, there we have it.
It's Back to Basics by the Doll in the Cupboard.
I'm having problems with this stupid laptop. I don't like laptops. Anyway, here we are. Back to Basics. Doll in the Cupboard. Here we are. Washing up, laundry folding. If I get time, I'll do a good shampoo. Carpets, rugs. I've diverted to fluffy black numbers. One glossy gold cracker is still tapped up for the day I get things sprinkled. Horace the cat has gone on strike, as thank goodness there's no mice to snatch. Bingo Doll's dog sits on top of his throne, gives me the beady eye, whilst I'm bombed by city dust. Wish I had a robot, but he might just drop dead. End poem.
Wow, that's a rough household, that one. I'm trying to clean that. Washing up, laundry folding. If I get time, I'll do a good shampoo. Carpet rugs, I've diverted to fluffy black numbers. One glossy gold cracker is still tapped up for the day. I get things sprinkled. interesting, right? Congratulations on your front page pick. And, yeah, that's great. What did you think, Bobby?
I enjoyed this brevity. I like the very staccato style of it. Washing up, laundry folded. If I get time, I'll do a good shampoo. Carpets, rugs, I've diverted to fluffy black numbers. I like it. It's a very very snappy. It's very succinct. Still good storytelling. Lots of lovely visual imagery. I like this. It's like, thank goodness there's no mice to snatch. And bingo doll's dog sit on top of its throne. Gives me the beady eye whilst I'm bombed by city dust. It is excellent storytelling, and it's with economy. I mean, it's a lovely brevity, and I enjoyed listening to it, and I enjoyed the story it told me. This is just someone having a good day and enjoying an ordinary day.
Yeah, absolutely. And what did you think, Reaver?
I thought it was very interesting. I'm very interested to find out what the black fluffy numbers are. That sounds intriguing. I'm thinking somebody has got a mohair jumper. I may be wrong, but I thought it was very good. I thought it was really, as you say, Bobby, it was the staccato delivery of it was wonderful. Not my delivery, her delivery. And I thought that was very clever. I do like that. Economy. But again, a wonderful story told in so few words. So well done. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment, Weaver. Yeah, you know, I thought it captured the humdrum of daily life quite wonderfully. You know, it made for excellent poetry. She did a wonderful job of translating the humdrum into an interesting write. So great job following the cover. Congratulations on the front page pick. All right, Bobby, I've got raccoons, possums, skunks. It's an acrostic by Shannon Norman, if you would mind reading that, please.
No, let me take down back to basics and bring up raccoons, possums, skunks. Okay. Oh, come on, where are you? Don't play with me. There we go. All right. Oh, I see where it's done. Oh, ha, ha, ha. I'm ignoring that user, so I can't read the poem. I'm sorry. That's the first time that's happened. Never mind. I think I'm going to have to pass on that one. It won't bring it up for me.
Oh. Okay.
Apparently I've got that user on ignore.
All right. I'll give this a read here. We have Raccoons, Possums, and Skunks by Joyless. Respect the raccoon for sharp teeth and claws. Always ask without suspicion, or he will know your flaws. Curious creature, always searching for a good find. Clever survivor, doesn't call anything mine. Obnoxiously savage when threatened or alarmed. Observations have shown he can do much harm. No reason to fear him if you are kind enough to care. So be gentle and understanding if you see him there. Perhaps his greatest defense is playing dead. Only at his full size does he get a cocky head. Some like to hunt him and make him a stew. Something his taste is too wild to chew. Obviously has crossed paths near his home in the woods. Many have seen his run over corpse while he ought not have stood. Simple conversations are best, but don't should. Shy critter, yet lovely, not hunted like the fox. Kind personality, he likes to hide in a box. Understanding this one is understanding defense. Nose will be obliterated if he strikes your sense. Keep your cool and keep your head and heed your head. So the skunk explains, yes, that's what he said. I share this animal wisdom as you may see these around. Please be careful with them. They do a lot for the town. What are your thoughts, Stephen?
I do like an acrostic. It's one of my all-time favorite things to play with, and this is very good. I love the fact that she's taken these creatures and basically just let us see everything she thinks about them. So I thought that was very good. Respect the raccoon for sharp teeth and claws. Always ask without suspicion or he will know your flaws. Very good. Yes, very clever. And I liked it a lot. So thank you, Joyless. You should be full of joy for this one.
Absolutely. And Bobby, what did you think?
Well, without having seen the craftsmanship of the acrostic, I can say just from listening to it, it's good storytelling. It definitely captures the wiliness and the idiosyncratic behavior of the raccoon. I don't know if you have the equivalent in Scotland, but here's the little rascals. They look like they have a mask on, and they're little bandits, and they like to forage through trash cans. And I remember one evening in my house in Arlington, I was standing on the back deck, and I could not understand what was going on by my bird bath. So I shone a light over there with a rather portly raccoon hanging off the edge of the bird bath, trying to get himself a drink. The acrobatics were quite interesting. Fortunately, it was a concrete bird bath, and it wasn't going anywhere. But they are clever. They are clever. They're amazing problem solvers. They use their little paws like hands. They're fascinating to watch unless they get in your house. Then they wreak absolute havoc.
My goodness.
But the poem did a great job of telling the story of the raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought so too. He captured the spirit of each animal quite wonderfully, you know, telling you what should be done and what shouldn't be done when you're dealing with these things. So a fascinating, right? And a great read. I mean, I read it, but anyway, second time I chewed in my own home.
But you did a good job.
All right, Bobby, would you mind reading the next one?
No, provided I haven't put this one on a moratorium, a ban either. Let's see what we got going on. Okay, we have Obenexus. Okay, we have Pick by Obenex. Interesting. Okay. Oh, there we go. From Pick.
I'm gonna post the link again because there's a list there.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, I see that. Okay. I thought that was just me. I was getting flashbacks from the previous. Okay. We have Obenex, an inner voice. The form of the wind lies in passion's key to open a dream door through which grains of love's silver light storm out to penetrate deep into your palms. They bloom in them into vines to bear the hour for your veins to be filled with the blend of blue with yellow. End poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. The inner voice, an inner voice, you know, that's a fascinating title. And then the form of the wind lies in passion's key to open a dream's door, through which grains of love's silver light storm out to penetrate deep into your palms. I mean, that's just a beautiful stanza there. You can see it all as you read it, and it was a wonderful short read. Thank you for sharing, Obenex. And what are your thoughts, Weaver?
Yes, this is great brevity. I liked it a lot. I do love the sort of surrealness of it, the fact that it's not immediately obvious to one and all what is being said here until you look at it a little deeper, which is always good. One of these things I think you'd have to read a couple of times to get to it, but this last two lines, to be filled with a blend of blue with yellow, wow, Just really very well done. Very interesting. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for that, Weaver. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I think it's a very ethereal piece. I think I've made my screen go away. Hang on a second. hit the wrong key and made it mad. Okay. The form of the wind lies in passion's key to open a dream's door through which grains of love's silver light storm out to penetrate deep into your palms. You really have to take that each stanza very slowly and let it play in your mind to really appreciate Weaver said, it's subtly surreal, but it's also very ethereal. You get a very transitory feeling to this. This is something like akin to like trying to grab a handful of smoke. I mean, if you miss it, you've lost the moment. It's a beautiful brevity. Your veins to be filled with a blend of blue with yellow. Again, interesting, and I think it leaves a bit to the reader's imagination on how this plays out in their mind, what it connects with for them. So in that way, it is a very superb, surreal brevity.
Absolutely. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you. All right. So we have SoundCloud by Rex, Where Shadows Play. We'll play the SoundCloud.
You unlock the mind with a key dipped in darkness, crossing through that rusting veil where the subconscious lies. A place without substance, a place along the void of tomorrow's birth, just beyond the sound of fingertips fumbling, a whisper heard, and the view of a chasm echoing in your ears. There's a signpost up ahead, and it reads, 186,000 MPS. You have just entered the Twilight Zone. All the world's a stage, and for one Somerset Pennington, it has been just that, as he gives a crowning performance that will be seen in the shadows, crawling along the ever-changing scenery of his mind, where illusion and illusion shakes the hand that haunts. To be or not to be, I have become undone. What light through window breaks? The moon where howls those dogs of discontent and war in a summer's cobalt cannonade flambé. A horse, a horse, my eye teeth for a steel horse, for that pale rider lives in situ, and foul gooseberries doth blight Camelot with their green-eyed tallywhacker trollops. Once more into the breach, ye scallywags, for home is that tiger, tiger, shining bright. And we must catch the Orient Express to Marrakesh, where those sultans of swing dance, dance, dance in gin and tonic sachets, where rotters and roses thumbed pricklings bleed in Nevermore's evermore raven cawing. The play's the thing, my friends. Lend me your tears. And for Mr. Pennington, his choice was and is to die, to sleep, perchance to dream in the Twilight Zone.
Wow, that was fascinating. He did a wonderful job of his reading. You know, it was exactly like a Twilight Zone episode. And I liked it a lot, Where Shadows Play is the name of the title. But, you know, it's very... transcendent, you know, it really takes you to another zone where reality is just a little bit warped. And to be or not to be, I have become undone. What light through the window breaks the moon where the howls of those dogs of discontent and war in a summer's cobalt cannonade, Bombay. A horse, my IT for a steel horse, where that pale rider lives in situ, and foul gooseberries, soft light Camelot, with their green-eyed tallywhacker trollops. Excellent writing and a fabulous read, Rex. Thank you so much for sharing. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, very well done. I really enjoyed it. I loved the little snippets of all the different plays and all the different books and that he put into this to build this story. I thought it was brilliant. I particularly loved a horse, my eye teeth, but a steel horse. And then you have the pale rider, lives in situ. I thought it was very cleverly done, Rex. I really enjoyed it. As always, of course, one would expect no less. But thank you for sharing that anyway.
Great comment, thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
This is an interesting melange that he has constructed here, a crazy quilt of quotes from Shakespeare, quotes from other things, like The Pale Rider is the title of a Clint Eastwood Western, a tallywhacker, as sneaky the way he snuck that in there, that trollops. Because most Americans don't know what a tallywhacker or a trollop is. And Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright, which is yet another poet. I forget who that is. I have to think for a second. That is Lynn McCashy Orion. That's William Blake. Okay. I knew I'd come up with it if I thought about it. And we've got the Orient Express, the Sultans of Swing, which is a dance, but he's got, like I said, he's got this interesting layering of quotes from Shakespeare, contemporary films and poetry and dance bands, and he's layered it together in such a way that it tells a really interesting, a surreal story, and it flows very nicely. It's just is all the world's a stage and for one Somerset Pennington. And he's given his protagonist a name, which I think is interesting. All the world's a stage. It starts out with Shakespeare and it ends with Shakespeare to sleep, perchance to dream, in the Twilight Zone. A strange homage to Rod Serling. It's clever. It's very clever. Is that the way he put this together? A cannonade, cobalt cannonade, flambé. Interesting. The play on words is fun. Like Weaver said, my eye teeth for a steel horse, and the pale rider lives in situ, which is in the situation or where it normally resides. It's it is an interesting read. It's one of those reads that you really have to go back over carefully to really appreciate thoroughly, and then when you're done, you sweep up the crumbs and you eat those too.
Yeah,
very good.
Absolutely. And what are your thoughts, Weaver?
Did I not comment on it? I did.
You did?
I think I did, because I mentioned that he.
I think you did too. I quoted.
Yeah.
But say something again. We just love hearing your voice.
All right. So I have the next poem up, and this is by Uncle Ernie, if you wouldn't mind reading that, Weaver.
Yes, of course. No problem. Here it is. I'm just going to open it up. The Night Has a Thousand Eyes by Uncle Henry. It's not opened up yet, so just bear with me. There we have it, okay. The night has a thousand eyes. The night has a thousand eyes, watchful under the onyx-painted skies. The trees swaying silently, infusing the air, faint echoes of the city sound in the middle of nowhere. End poem.
Okay, in the author's notes it says, this 30-word poem is describing the atmosphere in a rural area away from the city late at night. So, yeah, I thought Uncle Ernie did a fabulous job of, you know, relaying that fact that, you know, he is sitting in the woods with 1,000 eyes watching him and, you know, under the black skies, because there is no light in this, in the rural areas that you get from the city light that takes away the darkness of the skies. But trees swaying, silently infusing the air, and you can just smell the woods as you read that. And then finally, faint echoes of the city sound in the middle of the nowhere. And I think those faint echoes are in your ears because, I mean, in your mind, because, you know, you can't really hear anything when you're that rural. So excellent write and a fabulous read, Weaver. And what did you think of the poem, Bobby?
This is an elegant brevity. If for anyone who's never had the experience of a night sky, unencumbered, unaffected by light pollution from the city, it truly feels like it does have 1,000 eyes. Because you look up, and it is onyx. It is dark. It gives you a sense of infinity that you don't get from living in the city, especially if you lay down on the ground, look up at the sky, and the trees just, they do seem to just blend right into the sky. And in the middle of nowhere, it's a good descriptor, because that's basically where you have to be to experience something that, like this. But it is a rich experience that that you never forget. And that he is painted beautifully here with this word picture.
Yeah, I agree. Great comment, Bobby. Thank you so much. Okay, so I have the next poem up. This is called Playground by Ole Lumin. And I will give this a read. Looking at the mug of a hardened criminal made me thirsty for knowledge that was crawling like a tiny worm in his still occupied eye sockets. Sand abundant, we flailed our arms in a futile attempt to struggle against fate. Time to go home, my criminal friend. I will never forget your face, even if time sculpts it into an image that would melt film and cause artists' hands to shake. Yet I wish to commit all this to memory. Not a stupid photo album for grandma's, but something more elegant. My hands are tied and tiny, though. My eyes are closing shut. Wait. Oh, well. Time to go home. Next day will come along as if it was the next century. It will be grand and full of adventures and yawns, yawning, yawny. Yeah, I forgive your transgressions. I would have put that bucket over your head anyway. Now the honor is all yours, my hardened criminal friend. And now to slake that thirst. Time to head home. All those worms rolling about in the sandy sea of timeless time of fun. And now lay down to rest. The chests and breasts are mine. Farewell. End poem. Yeah, interesting. What did you think, Weaver?
I would say interesting is probably a very good way to describe this. Yo. I have to say I would have to read it a few times, I think, to get all of what's meant here. But there is a story, a definite story, and you're looking at this mug of a hardened criminal made me thirsty for knowledge. I was calling like a so here we have the worm, like a tiny worm, in his still occupied eye sockets. Whoa. Now what's he seeing? What's he seeing that we wouldn't? Yes, I think, sorry, I'm way off again. Yeah, I think this is incredibly interesting, and I like the rite itself. It's confident and well put together. As I say, meaning itself at the moment is maybe one of you two beautiful people will be able to tell me, but I thought it was very interesting.
And, it's definitely a deep poem. What are your thoughts, Bobby?
Well, just from the surface, to look at it quickly, I say that the criminal is death. My criminal friend, I will never forget your face, even if time scrubs it into an image that would melt film and cause artists' hands to shake. Yet I wish to commit all this to memory, not a stupid photo album, but something more elegant. My hands are tied, and tiny though, my eyes are closing shut. It just makes me think that this is someone speaking to death, but they're not speaking to them as though they were an adversary. They are acknowledging death as an ever-present entity in their life. Time to head home. All those worms rolling about in the sandy sea of timeless time of fun are now laid down to rest. The chest and breath are mine. Farewell. I think this is a person who is coming to the end of their play, and they've acknowledged that they're there. They're begrudgingly acknowledging with respect the looking of the mug of a hardened criminal made me thirsty for knowledge. And it's almost like it's a nod. It's a nod to death that, like, it's inescapable. They respect it. They realize they can't elude it. So they take it with dignity. And that's the way I see this.
Cool.
Yeah, I can see that.
May I donate okay. before we get into something else? Since it is this beautiful lady's birthday, may I donate one of my front page picks from a few years ago that was actually written for another poet, another lady, who we've not heard from in a long time, Salwa. But in reading this, I think that this is something I'd like to offer you as a birthday gift, as a sort of salute to your poetry. May I do that?
Oh, I would love that, if that's all right with Gray.
May I do that, Gray?
No problem.
Michelle, I posted it up there. It's called La Gitzime Muse, the 10th Muse. Forgive my very poor French. And this was written for another poetess. Whose work I also respected a great deal. A feather drifts through sunlight, carried gently on the slightest breath of air. A butterfly alights on dandelion down, and not a fragile filament is disturbed. A water strider pauses to rest, with touch so delicate, water's surface tension is unbroken. Morning dew collects on the spider's translucent web, the moisture like atoms of clear and cogent thought, so diaphanous and exquisite that their elegance defies description. Daybreak shines through this silken gossamer lace reticulation, allowing vision of all within reach and beyond, while the weaving shows introspection so delicate and fine as to be the cloth for the fairies. Her alchemy of words glides across a page and descends with such grace as to appear as motes of drifting diamond dust, settling into paean that would be the envy of Erato. Words shaped and honed, molded and flourished with such skill as to share the head of a pin with the shadows of a thousand angels. dancing in celebration with the muses. This is La Femme Danse Le Jardin Secret, Belle de Belle Perros, tilling the rich soil of her imagination and sharing blossoms of such rare beauty that the thousand dancing angels would weep. Tonight, let her join hands with her sisters, Calliope, Erato, Eterpe, Polyhymna, Terpsichore, Cleo, Thalia, Urania, Melpomene, La Dixelme Muse, are the 10th muse. End poem.
Oh, that was beautiful, Bobby. So gentle and loving, you know, and so filled with respect. And, you know, it's just the reverence that you've shown Zawa is just wonderful. And I thought it was beautiful. You know, and it definitely applies to our wonderful Weaver of Dreams as well.
Exactly.
She's like, yeah, exactly. So just beautiful, beautiful, right, Bobby? I'm just reading Zawa's comment. Oh, Bobby, I literally reading with tears in my eyes. I'm so speechless.
Oh, yes. She was. I believe it was her birthday also that I wrote this for her. And so when I was going through my first page picks and I saw this in there, I thought, what better way to celebrate another poetess's birthday with an equally elegant homage? And I don't think Weaver would mind if I borrowed from Zawa.
No.
So happy birthday, Weaver.
Thank you so much. That was lovely. Really was lovely. As usual, you always get to me. I always love that you're working. And the fact but the fact that you would read that for me was really lovely. And I love birthdays. That's all I can say. I love them.
Oh, yes.
So much.
Oh, yes. It's another way. It's always a good day to celebrate on this side of the grass.
Yes.
And mine's coming up. Mine's coming up next month. Yeah, mine's coming up next month. Yes.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So, anyway, this is, I was glad that I found this and glad to be able to share it with you. So my
Thank
gift
you.
To you.
Oh, lovely. Thank you so much. I'm going to actually get this printed and stuck on my wall so that I can look at it. Because I love that kind of thing. I really love it. And it's a great feeling to read it again whenever you want. And if it's on your wall and it's there for you to see, then it's more fun. More fun. Thank you again. So much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, thank you, Greg, for indulging me.
Yeah, no problem. You bet. All right, Weaver, would you mind reading It Is What It Is by The Drip?
Yes, I will certainly. I'm just waiting for it to come up. I do apologize. I'm refreshing like mad here. Oh, we got it. No, I still not got it. Oh, I've got it. Sorry, it's here. It's just my old eyes. Right. It Is What It Is by The Drip. There is a poked chest bravado in metaphor. A gavel strike of certainty. Yes, officer, that's who attacked me. The whole of how I feel is a long-legged misconception. Cleverness is a dragonfly. Lust, an appreciated pond. Grief looks like a spider, but given how hope's known to tuft, I'd sooner call it dandelion. Much the same when crushed. End poem.
And the author says in his author's notes, yeah, and Juliet is the sun, or her author's notes. But I like it, you know. It speaks to the day, you know, the day that we have, you have to get through it and come out smiling, you know, whether whether you've been crushed as a dandelion or whether you're still floating as a dandelion. So I thought it was beautiful. And what are your thoughts, Weaver?
Sorry. Yes, it was, again, beautifully put together. I love this, the ability people have to cram how inelegant. How to put so much meaning into their work with so few words. But I thought this, I, I particularly liked, grief looks like a spider, but given how hope's known to tuft, I sooner call it dandelion. What's the same when crushed? That is a lovely ending to this. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very clever. But there. This is the first line. There is a Pope's chest bravado in metaphor. I like that. That is a case of, yes, look at me, how clever am I? Which people are, of course, when they write. But most enjoyable. Thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Again, another elegant brevity. I like there's a poked chest bravado in metaphor. A metaphor for a metaphor. I like that. A dream within a dream. Cleverness is a dragonfly, lust an appreciated pawn, grief looks like a spider. I like the way they've almost personified different emotions into creatures. They've got the grief as a spider, cleverness as a dragonfly, and you can see the parallels in the different creatures that she's. And I'd sooner call it a dandelion, much the same when crushed, and you know that's that irretrievable decimation of that delicate, feathery entity that. A stiff wind or an errant four-year-old can just take apart with equal skill. And when they're crushed, they're crushed. So it's an interesting parallel. This is taken a lot of thought, this person. This looks like they've tossed it off, but they really haven't. There's a lot of depth of thought in this because the parallels she's selected with great care. I really enjoyed this. Very clever write, again, and what I like to call an economical write, because it says a lot with so few words.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. And Weaver, did you comment on that one?
I don't. Yes, I did, because I mentioned the fact that they put so much into it with so few words. So yes, I did.
Yeah, okay. All right, would you mind reading the next one, Light Patterns in Green Silk by Jenny the Deep, please?
Yes, no problem. Just going to get it open. Light Patterns in Green Silk by Jenny the Deep. Fuller, goddess of light, fully affects all in her view. Full brows, voluptuous lips, elegant through and through. Smiling cheek to cheek, hypnotizing them from the platform above. Delicately, she conquers the stage, flying like a dove. Theater is full, lights are dim, all but one hidden iridescent gem, fascinated eyes glued on her as she twirls silky green fabric through her fingers, up and down, round and round, swirling. I don't know what's happening to my head tonight. A voluminous, I can't say that word either, turquoise skirt, effortlessly whirling. Discreetly, she manipulates it with the bamboo wands. Silent at first, the audience in awe, then seeing her fire dance, they gasp and go wild, flooding them with abstract patterns of moving light. Met with roses and cheers at the end, backstage her feet, she is finally able to mend. End poem. And I do apologize, Jenny. I sometimes get this problem with words. I know what they are, I know how they should be, but I can't seem to get myself to say them properly, so I do apologize.
Great read. I thought you did wonderful. I liked it. You know, she paints this picture of this dancer with this green silk that she weaves through her fingers and around, attached to a bamboo stick for effect, and you know, you can really see all those images as you read through it, which is wonderful on the ability to make somebody see what you see through words. So that's just fabulous. And I liked it. It was well done. well written and well read. Thank you so much, Weaver and Jenny. And Bobby, what did you think?
I think there. I have also had times where I've had my tongue wrapped around my eye teeth and I can't see what I'm saying. So,
yep.
So there you are. I like her. Jenny the Deep she does this quite often with her pieces. She not only writes them, but she crafts them into a shape or a format that almost forces you into a style of rhythm of reading. And with each line, she isolates one word at the end. And I find this interesting. Fuller, Goddess of Light, fully affects all in her view. And it puts the emphasis on view through. She's got all her rhyming words aligned. And trying to do this is no mean feat because the formatting code likes to play mind games with you when you're trying to do this. Also, it gives it a very light ethereal, all but one hidden iridescent gem, fascinated eyes glued on as she twirls silky green fabric through her fingers, her voluminous turquoise skirt effortlessly twirling. You can see this. She manipulates it with bamboo wands. You can see the movement. It's a very rich piece, lots of texture, lots of color, lots of movement, and tells a beautiful story. It paints a beautiful word picture. Met with roses and cheers at the end, backstage her feet, she is finally able to mend. So it's a beautiful story of a dancer in light green and how as she captivates the audience, she herself is spellbound by her own dance. So beautiful storytelling.
I agree. Excellent comment, Bobby. Thank you so much. Okay, Bobby, would you mind reading Diva by Naomi Osteri?
Oh, I thought you'd never ask. Okay, let me keep that up. Naomi's, I get to channel Naomi. Good. All right. Okay, here we go. Oh, this is a nice meaty one. All right. In Intensely Purple, Diva by Naomi Sarah. With her hair coiffed in a slick, sexy updo, the slender curve of her swan-like neck became the crowned star of her outfit. Perfume laying at its nape, an hypnotizing haze of soft blushed pink, abloom with the scent of silken calla lily petals sailing upon wandering winds, the most enticing of invitations. Ah, yes, her aroma, the smell of the bed sheets he'd been seeking, ones he'd ached to lie between. Her electric neon gaze piercing through him with the thrust of a matador's sword, his breathing racing, chest pounding, rising from background music to a dance rave rumble, and oh, those plush, plump lips, glowing globes of purplish blue as juicy grapes whiting to be crushed under his mouth so he could lick the sweet nectar of their intoxicating wine. Stars lit the sky like the snowflakes in the night, but in her presence, everything around him became dark and still, like an old white and black photograph as he stood transfixed by her. This woman, a masterpiece of vibrant pop art, a diva with a sassy, silvery tongue and spicy swing in her hips, radiating from within like hard, glossy candy and colors of strawberry lollipops and sherbet lemon jolting him into a brain freeze, sucking him out of this world, lost somewhere in space, spinning out of control through the twisting and tumbling of undiscovered galaxies. And when she leaned towards him, slowly whispering, "Your place or mine?" It was as if she had poured out all the ingredients to the creamiest cake onto the floor, and now he floated upon sugary fluff. End poem.
Wow. Beautiful read, Bobby. That's such an expert, right? You know, it's just the beauty of this diva and the enchantment that she brings with her into the lives of those who are watching her, and especially the man that she sucks out of this world to somewhere in space, spinning out of control through the twisting and tumbling of undiscovered galaxies. You know, when you're taken aloft like that, you're taken, and it's goodbye time. So I thought it was a wonderful, right? Beautifully written and fabulous read, Bobby. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, it was lovely. It was that had that gentleness, which I do delight in when it comes to Naomi's writing. She has that. She can be, you know, like a sword, stabbing swiftly, but she also has this ability to give you beautiful pictures that are, well, yes, they're sassy and spicy, but they're also, I think the word is sweet. Well, of course, we've got all these beautiful things. And that's what made me think of sweet. Strawberry lollipops and sherbet lemon. Well, there you are. It just led me straight into it, didn't it? Very well done, Naomi. I really enjoyed this. I thought it was it lilting and the cadence was beautiful. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
She has really given us a very lively, elegant picture of a woman who is empowered. She's a powerful woman. She is aware of her power. She knows how to wield it. As I said in one of my poems, I said, shock and awe isn't only for the battlefield. And this lady, the way she has, with her hair, with her perfume, with her presence, knows what effect she has and is able to aim it like a laser at her target, and realizes that, like I said, shock and awe isn't only for the battlefield. Women, most women aren't equipped to wield it, and most men aren't equipped to handle it. And just this poor sod hasn't a chance. She set him up as her target, and she has him before she's even started, and she knows it. And but she's also given him the faux choice of your place or mine, as if she hasn't already made up her mind where that's going to be. But she gives him the illusion of one last decision, even though he had none when he walked into the room. So it is great storytelling. It tells you the complete story of how this woman has basically knows her power and is not afraid to use it. But she's not hurting anyone. She's satisfying herself, and it sounds like she's going to satisfy some of his dreams as well. So it's a win-win, and it's a great storytelling, and it's very subtle sensuality, beautifully told, very elegant, elegantly, subtly erotic.
Absolutely. Great comment. And so what do we have next? We have Wonderland by William Shade, and I will give that a read. What a world, the world of the dream, the swirly world between dawn and dusk, where nothing is as it seems. and all that seems is not to be, or has been, or is yet to be, but never more, never less than the sums of reality, or our distress, our restful unrest, a mournful, joyous, neutral place where our thoughts are put to rest, born anew and forgotten still, not the worst or the best, where we celebrate and protest. What a wonderful, awful place, the best place to never exist, the world of our dreams, where the moon casts away shadow and the sun with moonlight beams. Seek it out for treasure lost, adventure at an awful cost, and yet it's always free. Be cast out into endless frost, where nightmares make you scream, where everything to ever exist is never as it seems, where life can be renewed or perhaps forever lost, in the ghoulish, sunny meadows of the wonderful world of dreams and poem. And, yeah, that was great. What did you think, Weaver?
That is a very interesting poem. I really enjoyed it. I have my own issues with sleep, so I can fully appreciate anything to do with the wonderland of nightmares. Oh, my goodness me. I sleep and I wake up crying because my nightmares are so horrendous. And it's only because I don't have enough time for my brain to file everything away that's happened during my 22-hour day. So I can fully appreciate this. What a wonderful, awful place, the best place to never exist, the world of our dreams, where the moon casts away shadow and the sun with moonlight beams. Yeah, very, very well done. I really enjoyed it. It's very clever too. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Weaver. And what are your thoughts, Bobby?
Well, he makes it clear that this is a domain over which our conscious mind has no agency. What a wonderful, awful place, the best place to never exist, the world of our dreams, where the moon casts away shadows and the sun with moonlight beams. It brings out the abstractness of what our unconscious mind likes to come out, and when it comes out to play, some of the strange things it comes up with that we are left to ponder when during our waking hours. Like I've heard myself say, I swing my legs over there, what a strange dream. And you can sometimes see where it's taken shards of your day and things of the fragments of things that you had no idea were floating about in there and has cobbled them together. I personally have very vivid dreams. I dream in color, and I remember everything. I remember dreams I had in childhood, so it's an interesting. Now I know what I shouldn't watch before I go to bed. So at least what it comes up with is fairly benign, you know. But this is definitely an interesting word trip through that particular realm, through that particular aspect of our personalities, and something that has always fascinated a man from the time that they realized they had dreams. Do they assign value to it? Do they assign meaning to it? Seek it out for lost treasure, adventure at an awful cost, and yet it's always free. True. And do we assign value to it, or do we just consider it our unconscious mind having free rein and just coming out and, you know, just dusting itself off? So it's Weaver said, it's something that probably should be read again, because it definitely does. It is a very very, I would say, very, very close to Close to the Truth narrative of dreams, and it's especially from this author's particular point of view.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, I can remember waking up checking my pockets for money that I earned in my dreams, you know, and as a kid, you know, it's like, oh, I got $20 in my pocket from cutting that grass.
Yeah.
Oh, that was just a dream.
Well, wasn't expecting not to be alone.
Yeah.
I've had that happen. No laugh. I've had that happen. It's like, where did he go?
Oh, no. No.
Oh, very disappointing.
Very.
Yeah. You know, it feels so real while you're engaged in it.
Oh,
yeah. You know.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it's a fascinating poem. Well read as well. Thank you so much for that. And, all right. So we have Through the Naked Trees by Diane D, and there's supposed to be a SoundCloud, so check that out. All right, here we go.
Through Naked Trees by Diane. The morning, crisp and golden, like an apple. Awakening from the snags was air like cider. Within the cobbler crust of carob and camel, October flashes winter, the year's last smile. Toward where shadows and darkness meet, pale amber sunlight falls across the thicket. A hurrying rustle of brittle leaves blow along. Came a gabble of a flock of migrating geese. Where noons go quickly, but midnights linger, mist as thick as thieves swath tawny leaves. The trees are covered in pallid hues of decay. The earth lets itself be inhaled in one breath. The trees were tall, charcoal sticks shivering. Cold stars rushed through wispy, ragged clouds. On a bare branch, the cawing crow is perched, cackling off where an October bonfire burns. Sweet corn kernels scattered by row tractors, blackening, shriveled, hiding within the husk. One more autumn moon would sure give rise, for nature had saved up for her grand finale. End poem.
Well, that was a great read. And yeah, I love the poem. It was interesting, you know, and engaging. The morning crisp and golden like an apple. And mist as thick as thieves. And then October fire, bonfire burns. And then grand finale. I thought it was just a beautiful poem about fall and all of that brings. So wonderful, right? And a fabulous read, IND. Thank you for sharing. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Yes, it was beautiful. Beautifully written. I really like this. So much of what she's seeing around her here, which I think is a lovely thing to write about, something that you are actually able to look at or, you know, understand. But I like that October flashes winter, the year's last smile. It's just beautifully written. But and here we have this next stanza, which is my favorite. Towards where shadows and darkness meet, pale amber sunlight falls across the thicket. A harrowing rustle of brittle leaves blow along. Came a gabble of flock of migrating geese. Geese. Yes, lovely, as ever, Diane. It was full of so much. It has a sadness to it, but which is, I think, about right when you think that your summer's gone and it's going to be longer, darker nights. So, yeah, beautifully done. Thank you.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you so much. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I enjoyed this. I, it is a superb word painting. It has a lot of texture, crisp and golden like an apple, air like cider, within the cobbler crust of carob and caramel. It's evocative. You get fragrances, you get textures, you get sights and sounds, the hurrying rustle of brittle leaves blown along a gabble of flock of migrating geese. You can see all of this. It's an elegant word painting, and it made me realize how we have, now that we're emerging from summer, summer, to me, it seems like, and this is just my impression, summer and winter, because of their extremes in temperature, have almost a numbing effect. Depending upon what you do during those seasons, you either enjoy them or you endure them. But there's no half measures. I don't know too many people who are ambivalent about summer or winter. But spring and fall, spring being the rebirth of everything, and fall being the gradual decline of things, the surrender of nature to the loss of light and the loss of heat and the changing of the season. It seems that we, maybe I'm just generalizing too much for humans as a species, but it seems that we tend to become more perceptive to the sensory things around us in spring and fall, fragrances in spring, and certainly fragrances and textures in fall, and the changing reminds us. I think it reminds us of how mortal we are, and how we should appreciate them. And there's a real appreciation for the seasonal change. The word painting, where noons go quickly but midnights linger, mist as thick as thieves, swath tawny leaves, the trees are covered in pallid hues of decay. Beautifully said. The earth itself is to be inhaled in one breath. That stanza right there, you could stand alone. It just and the trees were perched on tall charcoal sticks. Cold stars rush through wispy, ragged clouds on a bare branch. A cawing crow is perched cackling where an October bonfire burns. You've got sight and sound and fragrance. For me, it's not crows. It's blue jays. If I hear blue, I have my windows open, I hear the blue jays outside. To me, that's autumn. Here's this poem. Diane has told us what she sees, what she smells, and has done such a gorgeous job of it. This is a beautiful piece.
Yeah, it truly is. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Where noons go quickly, but midnight lingers, mist as thick as thieves, swath tawny leaves as the trees are covered in pallid hues of decay. The earth itself is to be inhaled in one breath. I mean, that's just haunting right there. And winter is coming, that's what that's saying. So it was a wonderful write on the changing of the seasons. And so next we have Fire and Rain by If Your Abs. And I'll give this a read. Kathy, you are missed. You may go, but not away. Eyes condensing droplets tossed on a rainy day. You are missed, and you are missed. Mandy, you are a fire, lighting matches in the dark, laughing with your eyes in the dark, all a spark. Where was that blaze? What was your hurry? Families on a funeral pyre, charcoal burnt from worry. I didn't know you, Kathy, but I know your daughter, Em. She's a petal in the Rhea, floating near Sky Comish Glen. And you are missed. You are missed, floating up from glowing coals. Two voices ringing out from the shores of Muscle Shoals. If I had a songbird voice in a treetop nest we'd sing, I'd let you hit the high notes as we barrel back to spring. Two birds of rainbow feather, with your plumage soft and warm, a red bird and a blue bird, tweeting up a dewy dawn. Mist, fire, and rain, you are mist and poem. And it says it's inspired by a prompt using, the sun is often out. So, great job. If your abs, it was lovely. Reverence and respect for these women is palpable and beautiful. So thank you for sharing, Rex. If your abs. And what are your thoughts, Bobby?
This almost sounds like an homage to a friend who is no longer with this person. I really like the elegant play on words. You are missed. You are missed. Using the synonyms as both descriptive of the person and of the emotion. You may go, but not away. Tossed on a rainy day, you are missed. You are missed. You are fire, matching lights in the dark. It's beautiful. It's mournful. It's reverent. You can tell that the love of this person was deep. That this person, their parting, their passing has left a void in this individual in the writer's life. I didn't know you, Kathy, but I know your daughter, Em. She's a petal in a rhea, floating near Sky Comish Glen. The rhyming pattern is very subtle. Beautiful storytelling. Very sweet, sad. If I had a songbird voice in a treetop nest, we'd sing. I'd let you hit the high notes as we barreled back to spring. Beautifully done. This is so delicate and so lovely.
I agree. Thank you, Bobby. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Yes, this was a lovely tribute. The contest was by Mika, and this was in honor of her mother, Kathy. So I think that was, it covered it so beautifully. And as you say, Bobby, very sweet and tender. You are missed. You may go, but not away. Eyes condensing droplets tossed on a rainy day. Every stanza has that lilting quality to it. And the memories, which will never go away, which is great. Yeah, beautifully done. Thank you so much for sharing.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And would you mind reading Seasons of Me by Garden Delights, please? Weaver?
Yes, of course. Just give me 1 second. I've not got it yet, but I will find it. I got it. I like when things come together. So we have Seasons of Me by Garden Delights. Cluster of gibbous moons, swathed, newly exhumed, space debris. I am blindsided. Seasons of me, dysfunctional. Visceral timer decaying. Full moon map, maple. Slumps. I isolate. Summer colors fade to dead planets graze. Chaotically choreographed. Ribbons of effort. Observing facile dragonflies. Purity on the wing. Be my strength as I rise. End poem.
Wonderful read. And she says it's written to a prompt. And I can't quite read the prompt. It's a little too small.
I'll read it for you if you want.
Oven glove moves.
I got it here.
Yeah, you got it. Okay.
Yeah. Oven glove moves.
Oven glove moves.
Peg. Season slip on grass. I exile. into the smaller pockets of my drunken by tinted glass cashmere dragonfly and comment. But yeah, wonderful, right? It is kind of dark, you know, you can feel a sadness in it with the summer colors fade to dead planet rays chaotically choreographed. And, you know, life is a dance, and somewhere along the line there is a choreography to it, and getting gray, I guess, is part of that. So welcome to the wonderful world of gray hair. And great write, excellent read as well. Thank you, Weaver. And Bobby, what did you think of the poem?
There's a longing in it. There's a palpable longing. There's a feeling of loss. Gibbous clouds swathed, newly exhumed space debris. I am blindsided. And I get this, the sense from that line is that all of a sudden age is upon this person. And believe me, I can identify with this. Age is upon this person. Now, all of a sudden they realized seasons of me dysfunctional, visceral time are decaying, full moon may, I isolate summer, and like you said, summer colors fade to dead planet grays, chaotically choreographed. This is a very elegant piece, very carefully crafted to say precisely what this person, observing facile dragonflies, purity on the wing. I don't think I'll ever see a dragonfly again without thinking of that line, because they do look very pure. Be my strength as I rise. And it's like this person realizes that they are in their twilight years, but yet there is something more left to their life, and they want to rise to it. And this is, like I said, there's a great deal of longing here, recognition of the autumn and winter of the year of a person's lifetime, and they've not given up. They're mourning what is behind them, and they're wanting to rise to what they still have left. So beautiful piece. I can see why this got a front page pick.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I agree with Bobby totally, yes. It is a look at what is happening, what is coming, and what's behind. Never an easy thing to do, to face the inevitable. Sometimes people just don't. They just don't even think about it. Let it come if it must. But I thought this was beautifully written. Seasons of Me, dysfunctional. Yeah, I thought that was a beautiful first, beautiful couple of lines. Excuse me, I'm reading this as I go along, but that picture is, that picture is so cute. The colours are amazing. So, yes, I thought it was very clever, very well written. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Robert. And thank you for the read, Weaver. So would you mind reading Ode to Mittens by Robert Pilecki, please, Bobby?
I would not mind. Let me fetch it. Okay. Ode to Mittens. Okay. Oh, charming picture. Ode to Mittens. My mother bought me mittens in brown paper, the birthday gift that had home-knit look, pastel shades, the color of my nursery, knitwear that had aged, old-fashioned pattern with neat rows, lumps, and bumps, much like the look of the lamb in Springfields. I unearthed them again after 50 years on the bottom of the old dresser in the attic, touched my face with teddy bear hands, bringing memories of fun. The childhood times of the days of building snowmen in the backyard, bundled in woolen muff scarf on my face, the breath coming out of in a puff. The snow was clinging in small lumps to stray fibers, licked ice petals of soggy off soggy gray mittens, tasted like fat mutton. When the mittens got wet, I shook them off. One at a time, laid them on the radiator between Mom's woolen hat and scarf to warm and dry, then clutched arms round her waist and bosomed, hugged her, thanking her for the best birthday gift ever, the mittens. End poem.
Wow, and great read, got, Bobby.
She's got Maru Mori bought, oh, it's inspired by Pablo Neruda's socks. And Pablo Neruda bought, Maru Mori bought me a pair of socks, which she knitted herself with her shepherder's hands. And he's included the poem. And the last stanza is, the moral of my ode is this. Beauty is twice beauty, and what is good is doubly good when it is a matter of two socks made of wool in the winter.
I loved it. Yeah,
what
it was
a beautiful
wonderful.
Piece.
Great read, Bobby. But I love the poem. You know, we have a certain relationship with our winter clothing in winter when we're kids, and you can feel that with this, right? I mean, you know, I can remember that feeling with my mittens as well, being so grateful for them in the cold and knowing how cold my hands would be without them. So it brought me back to childhood and childhood memories. So thank you for that so much. Robert, great job. And Bob, I mean, Reaver, what did you think of the poem?
Oh, that picture is incredibly cute. Oh, look at the little face. Lovely. Yes, I can understand that entirely. I had woolen mittens, but my mother got fed up with me losing them all the time, always. So she, like most children, sewed a piece of string and put them through the sleeves of my coat so they dangled out the end when I didn't have them on my hands. I didn't lose them quite as often, but I did nearly strangle myself trying to get in and out of the coat with that bit of string hanging there. So yeah, it brings back wonderful memories and very well written. There's a sweetness to it. There's a nostalgia. It's great. It's a great thing. I like the old-fashioned patterns. Neat rows, lumps and bumps, much like the look of the lamb in Springfield. Ah, lovely. So he's not pretending they were the best knitted pair of mittens he's ever seen, but he loved them anyway. So that's the way life should be, I think. Take everything with its lumps and bumps. So thank you for sharing. Oh, flip a deck.
That'd be my dog, Barky Dog. All right, so we got one time for one more, I think. And this is called Larry Lost His Locks by Paul Broad. And I'll post that to the group. All right, so here we have Larry Lost His Locks by Paul Broad. Larry Lennox left landlubbers, lugubrious, later day lads, licensed, ludicrous, lunch, leftover lettuce, less locks, lost locks languish, lugubrious, laughterless. And, yeah, it was fascinating. I mean, you know, it's such a play on words that is wonderful. It was a pleasure.
May I take a crack at it? May I take a crack at it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Larry Lennox left landlubbers lugubrious, latter-day lads licensed ludicrous, lunch, leftover lettuce, less locks, lost locks languished lugubrious, laughterless. And
Paul. Well, you did a better job than I, Bobby.
I just have a knack for those polysyllabic words. It's clever alliteration, and it's obviously to a contest. What a wonderful way to end the show. Now I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And the best Eggs Benedict I ever had was in a restaurant in Vancouver, in a hotel, and they made it with smoked salmon.
Wow. Nice. Yeah.
Oh, God, it was decadent. I wish I had one right now.
Yeah, no kidding. Never had salmon and eggs.
Oh, this place in Vancouver, I wish I could remember the name of it, but they specialized in it.
Wow. Amazing. And I live in Vancouver, so.
You should, it's incumbent upon you to go looking for, it's in a hotel, and it actually, I think the restaurant rotates.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. Let me have one of those.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and they made their Eggs Benedict with smoked salmon. Do yourself a favor, have the hollandaise on the side. That way, it's not it's not hiding that wonderful salmon.
Right. Hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
I like this. It makes me hungry.
Yeah. No kidding. What did you think, Weaver?
Well, I loved it, and both of you read it so well. I'm not even going to bother thinking about reading it. I'm not stupid. But I did, honestly, what made me smile the most was one of the comments. Stella Bond says, the alliteration is crazy. Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Sorry, that just made me laugh so much. But yes. Very clever. Yes. Well done.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, ladies. Well, we have 2 minutes left, so I think I'm going to call it a night and say good night and appreciate you calling in. Much love, everybody, and happy birthday, Weaver.
Oh, thank you so much.
A toast to you, my lady.
Okay.
And I've got a bedroom upstairs just waiting for your visit.
Oh, lovely. Well, whenever I can walk further than my own height, I will be there. But at the moment, I'm kind of stuck.
Well, slap some wheels on it and roll on over here.
Slap some wheels on it. Well, brilliant. Oh, well, thank you. It's been a great night.
Great
thank you
show,
so much.
Gray. Yeah, great show, Gray. Thanks for letting us join in.
Absolutely. Appreciate you both. Good night, everyone.
Yep. Good night, Daniel. Roger. Good night, Daniel. Good night, Bobby. Good night, Gray. Good night, John Boy.
Good night. Good night, everybody.